Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Well, hello and welcome to Spark Radio. Welcome to all our new listeners. Welcome back to those of you who listen regularly. We very much appreciate you. And we are so glad that you have joined us this week to check out some new strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, or knowledge. I am your host, Ms. Melanie, and I'm so excited to be with you once again. I am back from Tampa, Florida, where our show came to you last week with Lex McKee and some fascinating new ideas about living organizations. He's an amazing gentleman with wonderful ideas, and I'm looking forward to having him on the show again in the future. Tonight, we are going to explore some strategies that, and resources that you might choose so that you can become more aware and more informed about the life choices you make that impact your brain. Because as Alex will be 7 in July and had his last day of first grade today, but we'll get to that in a minute, we'll tell you you have only one brain. And right now you can't grow a whole new brain. And so, yes, Mom, all you worry about is my brain and being healthy. I said, and I love you. So tonight, let's take a look at some information out there about health and the brain. Because once again, we have only one, and most of us would probably admit that we take better care of our hair and our skin than we do of our brains. Most of us haven't purchased the owner's manual to the brain, which you can get at any bookstore or Amazon.com. It's probably 5 or 6 inches thick. It's written so the average person can read it. You don't need to be a brain junkie like me in order to get information. And you can just go to the index and look at different topics that you might be interested in. We may pop into that book later tonight. We'll see if we get that far through the pile of resources. And as always, we welcome you either via chat or via phone if you would like to phone in and talk about either tonight's topic or any topic that we have covered in the past shows or something that's pressing, an issue that you're seeking resolution about. Please give us a call at 347-215-8390. Or we have a chat open. So type in your questions or comments, and we'll be happy to talk with you. So before we go further into our topic about healthy choices for your brain, it's one of those things that those of you who are parents or have been parents can relate to. We had the end of school year celebration at Alex's school today. He finished first grade very successfully at Summit School in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And we're very proud of his accomplishments, excited about the staff there at Summit and their commitment to each individual student. Summit is a private school, and we are committed to Alex having the most brain-based, effective education in his early years, because that's when you build the foundation and the passion for learning that can take you through life. So we were talking about our summer adventures, Alex's summer adventures, which are learning adventures, because his dad works at home, and so we'll be home with him 3 days a week when Mom's working elsewhere, and I'll be home the other day. So we have different learning centers and summer projects and just a lot of fun. And so what kind of learning fun do you have in your life? What do you have a passion to learn more about? Well, for me, one of my passions is to really make the most of the brain and the mind that we have. So let's take a look at some information about having a healthier brain. And I will post some books you can get through Amazon. And I'm very excited about next week's guest. Next week's guest is Sandy Bauman, and she has written several books, including Feed Your Brain for Learning, Feed Your Brain for Memory. And she'll be talking about her research and her work with nutrition in the brain. She's also got Feed Your Bones, feed your body for energy, feed your brain for energy. I'm not sure. I don't have that one. That's your newest one. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time in the material that she's got. I'll mention a few things. I'm excited to have been invited to share a luncheon keynote next week at the Kentucky Credit Union League's June Education Conference for credit union staff. And my luncheon topic is Eat Your Way to a Healthier Brain. Better performance and longer life. And so we got to work together on the menu. So I said it is very frustrating when they've just finished their pasta entree, and then I talk about the dangers of having pasta in the middle of the day. So we talked about the menu, put some good things in there, and we'll give people some food for thought when it comes to looking at getting the best performance from the one brain that we have. And so I'll share tonight with you some of the things that I'll be including in that session. And when was the last time that you really thought about the value of your nutrition to your brain? And what's good for the brain is generally good for the body as a whole, from what I've been reading and researching. I did run across, my husband was doing some research. He was out on Dig this morning, at dig.com. And he said, oh, here's something that you might be able to use. And this is from Men's Health. And it is America's Most Unhealthy Drinks Exposed. So I thought we'd, you know, take a little tour through those five most unhealthy drinks, because number five on the list is a vitamin water. And it's Glaceau, G-L-A-C-E-A-U, vitamin water, any flavor, 20-ounce bottle. It says it has 130 calories and 33 grams of sugar. It says that they don't advertise this water contains nearly as much calories and sugar as a can of soda, and it's made by Coca-Cola. So, you know, you got to watch those ingredients on the healthy drinks, because people look at vitamin water and say, ooh, it would be good. Being really astute about label reading will help you so much when it comes to being conscious and cognizant about what you are eating and drinking. So that's number five. Number four on the list, according to Men's Health, is the worst juice imposter, and that's Arizona Kiwi Strawberry in a 23.5-ounce can. Contains 360 calories and 84 grams of sugar. And this entry goes on to note, these bottles, which are just 5% juice, cost 99 cents, which makes them one of the cheapest source of empty calories in the country. Interesting. Number three is the worst smoothie. And it's Jamba Juice Peanut Butter Mood, M-O-O apostrophe D, Power Smoothie in a 30-ounce, 169 grams of sugar, and 30 grams of fat. It says whether you call it a smoothie or a milkshake, it has more sugar than a bag of chocolate chips. Oh, my gosh. And if you think about, a lot of times we think about smoothies as being healthy and nutritious, and you can make great smoothies at home. And we, if we don't get to it this week, we'll definitely get to it next week because it's in Sandy's book. So if you're making a smoothie with fruit, wheat germ or flaxseed, yogurt, fruit juices, it's going to be more nutritionally sound for you than this one. Oh, my goodness. Number two is the worst summer cocktail, and that's the piña colada. That has 625 calories and 75 grams of sugar. Ouch. It says because of the super sweet pineapple juice and fatty coconut milk, the only wise thing to consume here may be the garnish. They suggest a lime daiquiri or mojito instead, which would save you 400 calories. And finally, at number one, the unhealthiest drink in America, according to this article in Men's Health, is Baskin-Robbins Large Heath Bar Shake, 32-ounce. It contains, hold your breath, 2,310 calories, 266 grams of sugar, and 108 grams of fat. Whoa. 73 ingredients go into this milkshake, it says, 66 teaspoons of sugar. 11 Heath bars you would need to eat to equal the calories in this shake. Say it takes 8 to 12 minutes to drink it. You would need to be running at a moderate pace on a treadmill for 240 minutes to burn it off. Now, I think if foods that we ate actually had that conversion, for example, consuming a serving of this result in, to burn off those calories, you would need to walk X minutes or run X minutes. I've had knee surgery, so I don't run. But wow. So often, I mean, and there are things that taste good. And don't get me wrong, because I like a good croissant or a good cream-filled donut every once in a while. It's, you know, when that becomes a regular part of our diet that we have issues. So how can we make healthier choices when it comes to what we eat? And, you know, originally, thousands of years ago, we really looked at food as being simply nutrition and survival. And now food has taken on a whole new part of our life, because now it's all about we entertain with food. We use food to feel better. We want food to look nice. And it's not so much about what our body wants or what the nutritional value is of what we eat. And one of the books that is a fascinating book to read, and I'm still in the process of reading it, is called Your Miracle Brain by Jean Carper. And I think I've mentioned this on past shows. But this is talking about some research, how you can use food or supplements to maximize brain power, boost memory, lift mood, improve IQ and creativity, and prevent and reverse mental aging. And one of the concepts early in this book has to do with the kind of diet that we had thousands of years ago, which was primarily plant-based. And now we eat a lot of meat, a lot of protein. We aren't getting as much of the rainbow when it comes to fruits and vegetables as we had done in the past. And so the chemicals of our brain, especially serotonin, among them, and serotonin is our feel-good chemical, and it can heighten memory, helps protect brain cells from excitotoxicity, which can kill brain cells, can prevent brain damage. And so it's a really complex act that happens in our brains. And in order for the chemicals to be made, a lot of them require things from outside our bodies. We don't make the building blocks that we need. For example, we don't make magnesium. We need magnesium. Our body does not make choline. And we need choline to create acetylcholine, which is necessary for memory formation. And what are some good sources of choline? And we'll talk about that too, probably a little more next week, but choline is formed from lecithin. So lecithin breaks down to choline. So if you have something that has lecithin, you'll be getting choline, which is great for memory. Having one egg a day doesn't boost your cholesterol significantly, but that pure protein that is in an egg can be converted into any of the proteins needed by your brain and body, and it has the choline necessary that will help memory. So if you're not eating breakfast, big plug for breakfast, because it gives your brain the building blocks it needs, so you'll be able to pay attention better, concentrate more, be more successful at problem solving. And some people I know, I just can't eat breakfast. Well, start simple. You know, a little peanut butter and a piece of whole wheat bread, whole wheat toast. Give you some protein, some whole grains that should sustain you a little bit longer. The problem is when we get a sugar rush, and I'm sure Sandy will talk about that next week, you get a fast-burning carb that shoots up your blood sugar. Then you have an insulin rush and you crash. Then you're hungry again and you get into the cycle that goes all day. Well, a good breakfast that combines fiber, the good carbs that take a long time to break down, like the whole grains, the oatmeal, a little fruit for some quick energy, and things like yogurt so you can make a smoothie, a lot of good things. You can actually, you know, be sustained for 3 or 4 hours. So start with that healthy breakfast. I am going to invite you again to call in at 347-215-8390 or type in a question in our chat. And Sandy will also talk a little bit next week, too, about the idea of the other things that the brain needs besides good nutrition. So I won't get into that today, but if you're interested in those, join us next week for our next segment. So we know we need to eat the colors of the rainbow when it comes to fruits and vegetables. Particularly amazing antioxidants is my brain-based trainer colleague, Leanne Nicholson, calls them, because amazing antioxidants really help with the free radicals that lodge in the fat of our brain. The brain's really got a lot of fat, and it's a good kind of fat called omega-3s, and that myelin sheath around the nerves is what helps them to communicate quickly. And again, in both your Miracle Brain and in Feed Your Brain for Learning, talk about we really need more omega-3s, and what's happened is we've shifted to more animal fat, more omega-6s, and that's created a problem because our body doesn't process omega-6s as well, needs the omega-3s for brain health, so we need to pay attention to that. And the ratio is completely flipped. I'm trying to find those numbers for you. I may not today. I'm going to just wait for Sandy next time. They also have healthy blood vessels in the brain and body, so with omega-3 fats, you reduce blood pressure and improve your thinking and reduce inflammation and swelling. We already talked about lecithin granules or choline, improving memory recall. And by the way, Alex thinks wheat germ is my secret ingredient in a lot of stuff. It has a little bit of a nutty flavor, but a lot of vitamins in the wheat germ as well as the omega-3s. And so you can put them in smoothies, put them on salads, sprinkle them on cereal, put them in cookies as well. And you can use whole wheat flour. The Sneaky Chef, I picked up that book recently about how to get more fruits and vegetables and whole grains into your family's diet. And one of the ingredients is a flour mixture that is, I think, a cup of white flour, a cup of whole wheat flour, a few tablespoons of wheat germ, and use that in place of when recipes call for flour, because the refined white flour has all the good vitamin stuff removed, because that's in the bran and the germ. So what else does omega-3 do for us? Lowers triglyceride levels, improves schizophrenia, manic depression. Because it increases artery elasticity, so they stretch, it reduces the risk of heart disease, can decrease depression, improves the use of serotonin for calmness, and dopamine for optimistic outlook. So according to the book All About Omega-3 Oils by Clara Felix, they recommend 4 to 8 grams of omega-3 fat a day. And you can get your healthy omega-3s in ocean fish, fatty fish, halibut, tuna, salmon, wheat germ, fish oil, and flax. Be really careful with the flax seed and flax oil because more than 3 tablespoons a day can interfere with your thyroid. I can remember to look up for calls here. Green leafy vegetables, walnuts, Brazil nuts, soybeans, omega-3 enriched eggs, canola oil or flax oil. All are good sources of omega-3s. Oh, here's that ratio. And, by the way, in those earlier times, not only did we eat more vegetables, but we ate grass-fed animals. And so the ratio of omega-6 to omega-3 was 4 to 1. And now with grain-fed animals, less vegetable consumption, it's 20 to 1. And so that also coincides with the increase of depression, arthritis, heart disease, and Alzheimer's in the U.S. So too much omega-6 fat, which is saturated fat, fats that are solid at room temperature, can cause weight gain, insulin resistance, raises risk for cancer, speeds tumor growth, boosts risk of coronary death, that's heart-related. And you can reduce your use of foods fried in oil unless it is canola at high temperatures or using olive oil for salad dressing at low temperatures. So saturated fat you're going to find in meats, full-fat milk, yogurt, ice cream, and cheese can impact memory loss, obesity, stroke, etc. If you can have frozen yogurt instead of ice cream, much better. Read labels and watch for saturated fat. Now, by the way, partially hydrogenated fat, same yuck. Trans fats, French fries in oils, and a lot of places are switching so they can say no trans fat. Yeah, there's that number. 75% of the trans fat consumed in the U.S. is eaten in the form of French fries. one of the things that you can do is to learn how food affects your brain and body by keeping a log. What you eat, how you feel 2 hours after that meal or snack. Are you sleepy? Are you fidgety? Are you having trouble concentrating? And you can think about, you know, take a look at what you're snacking on. Carrots are a great source of protein, got some veggies, good calories, handful of nuts. You know, what is it that you're grabbing at snack time? Is it empty sugar calories and calories that aren't effective? Or is it really giving your brain a serious boost? One of the other topics, under 10 minutes left, has to do with people are concerned about chemicals on our foods, as well we should be. And this article is in Positive Thinking Magazine, the March-April issue, about taking a look at what foods, if we're going to look at organic foods, which ones are at the greatest risk for chemical. This cites a study by the Hartman Group, a market research firm, that says 73% of consumers in the U.S. now use organic products at least occasionally. And it can cost as much as 50% more. There isn't always a wide selection. However, you're going to pay for it now or pay for it later with health issues, as someone told me, a nutritionist mentioned to me, so it's a pay now, pay later deal. Make sure that you're labeling, you know, with fruits and vegetables. The organic means no pesticides, no genetic modification, no growth hormones, no artificial fertilizer or irradiation can be used in production. Oh, boy. In 2001, more than 1.2 billion pounds of pesticides were used in the United States. That's a lot of chemicals. For meat, poultry, eggs, or dairy to be labeled organic, they must come from animals given organically grown feed with no growth hormones or antibiotics. They're not confined 100% of the time. And I want to share this research with you also in the same article. And this has to do with studies that have linked the consumption of pesticides to health issues, including cancer, birth defects, nervous system damage. This is from Sonia Lunder, the senior analyst, the Environmental Working Group, which is a not-for-profit research organization. And she comments that the effects on health are not exactly clear-cut. They depend on factors such as pesticide toxicity, the level of exposure, person's age, and genetic susceptibility, as well as exposure to other toxins. With children, though, and again, as a mother, there's more cause for concern because kids' immune and organ systems are still developing, and they're more vulnerable to the effects of pesticides. According to a report by the Organic Center, the average child in America is exposed to 5 pesticides daily in their food and drinking water. Good news? Yes, there is some coming. Here it is. Switching to an organic diet for just 5 days virtually eliminates any sign of exposure to organophosphate insecticides. Other parts of the equation, pesticides seep through soil and get into water in the ecosystem. So let's take a look at if you were going to purchase organic, which fruits and vegetables are most likely to have absorbed pesticides. So let's see. What might you want to purchase organic? Peaches and nectarines. They made the Dirty Dozen, the 12 fruits and vegetables with the highest level of pesticide. Peaches are number one on the list. And nectarines are number 5. So you might want to check out a local farmer's market if you can, and find out which ones are organic. Apples and pears also rank high on the list. It's difficult to grow apples using 100% organic methods. Ecologically minded farmers use integrated pest management and only spot apply chemicals. Again, if you can buy locally, ask if they're using IPM, integrated pest management. Milk from conventionally raised cows contains antibiotics and growth hormones, usually. And think about how much milk your children drink. So, you know, if they've not been injected with RBGH, growth hormones, or antibiotics, probably going to be healthier for our kids. Eggs. Chickens on conventional farms are often given antibiotics, again, as a preventative measure. Their feed may contain pesticide residue also. So you can get organic eggs that come from free-range chickens. meat. Again, antibiotics given to humans are given to conventionally raised farm animals. Overuse is contributing to bacteria resistance to antibiotics. So again, you're looking for organic feed and grazing. Potatoes, highest pesticide levels because they're root grown. They absorb them from the soil. So if you can get organic potatoes. Celery is the fourth worst offender on the list. Pesticides detected in 94.1% of samples. Bell peppers, great source of vitamin C. Some samples tested had as many as 11 different pesticides. They were the third worst on the list. Lettuce and spinach, around 70% of those tested had pesticides. Wash, make sure you wash and go organic when you can. Strawberries and cherries rank 6th and 7th in the Dirty Dozen. Over 90% of samples were contaminated. Opt for organic when you can. Buy in season. Grapes, especially imported grapes, are more likely to be treated with pesticides. So go local where possible. So there's our list. Grapes, strawberries and cherries, lettuce and spinach, bell peppers, celery, potatoes, meat, eggs, milk, apples and pears, peaches and nectarines. Definitely worth going organic, especially if you have kids, to keep the chemicals out of our systems when we can. So, also good sources of antioxidants, green tea, black tea, berries, raisins. So you can grab a handful of raisins, grab grapes. And I want to thank you, as always, for joining me at Spark Radio, and hopefully you've heard something of interest tonight. The article that I just referenced on Worth Going Organic, again, is in Positive Thinking, March-April 2008, and talked about the book Your Miracle Brain by Jean Harper. It contains much good information, including brains for your baby, list of foods with omega-6s, foods with omega-3s, you know, salad oils, be very careful what you put in, making your own salad dressing is probably better. So we do need fat in our diet, so just well, you want to look for the healthy omega-3 fats. We don't have time in our last couple of minutes, really. But you can, again, anytime you're going to take supplements or have a major diet change, consult your doctor. You can, if you're not getting enough fish, you can get fish oil in supplement form. So that's an option. When we started increasing our omega-3s is when we started to have great brain function. So we definitely want to make sure we get enough omega-3s, and especially for our kids. The most fluid fats for keeping cell membranes soft and flexible. Animal fats, omega-6s turn membranes crystalline and rigid. So as we're winding down, we definitely want to keep those omega-3s. Also, omega-3s help with serotonin. So DHA fish oil, you'll have more serotonin and more of the feel-good chemical. So hopefully, again, you found something of value. And if you just, you know, if you don't want to buy the book, just pop into your local bookstore, grab it off the shelf, and just flip through and see if you find things that jump off the page at you. And we'll talk more again next time about breakfast, particularly. Just real quickly, breakfast eaters in a research study by Dr. David Benton at the University of Wales, Swansea. Breakfast eaters had higher blood glucose and faster recall, predicted more accuracy on the test, indicating better memory and performance. Yes. So again, add breakfast, healthy breakfast, with some good protein, some good carbs with fiber, whole wheat, whole grain toast, oatmeal, maybe a little yogurt and fruit to send you on your way, and some green tea. We'll talk maybe about caffeine next time. If not, we'll save it for the future. A little caffeine might be good for some of you. Too much can cause some problems. As always, I thank you for being with us here at Spark Radio. It's my pleasure to bring you great strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge. And until next time, remember, whatever we think about and think about, we bring about. Choose to create great days as you continue to make a positive difference in the lives you touch. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you for listening to Spark Radio with Miss Melanie. Please share this show link with those you believe would enjoy and benefit from listening. We invite you to join us for upcoming shows with special guests and more sparks. May a spark you heard ignite a positive change in your life. Good day.
Good brain technique.